Okay, continuing on in the new business is item 8B, adopt resolution number 2008-07, resolution by San Mateo County Controller's Office to transfer non-budgeted excess ERAP and Harbor Village project revenues into district reserves. Chief Cole, on the tab six.
Yes, sir, as you all realize, we received the non-budgeted ERAP excess rebate last this month, as well as the $75,000 from the other project, Harbor Village project. As our recommendation for you now is to take those monies and move those as designed through the resolution into those identified accounts with the identified dollar values associated with that. So I hereby request that the board consider that and pass that motion and make a motion to adopt.
Do we have a motion to adopt resolution number 2008-7?
So moved.
JB, I'll second.
JB and Laney's second discussion. I just tell the board members that the Finance Committee did spend some time on this as well, so we what you see before you is a result of our discussion as well.
Now this is soft money, is that my understanding?
This is hard money going into
reserve. Well, yeah, this time you can't count on this year after year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
This is an ad hoc payment, because I was thinking, well, if we had this every year, that would be good.
The $75,000 is reoccurring for 10 years.
Yeah, we'll move
through the chair for...
Correct.
Thank you.
Any further questions, discussion? All in favor of... a roll call, please, Gene.
Director McIntyre?
Yes.
Director McKean?
Yes.
Director McKean?
Yes.
Director Nosko?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Killian?
Yes.
Director Drake?
Yes.
Director Cockrell?
Yes.
President Burke?
Yes.
9-0 roll call.
Continuing on to the new business, item 8C, review and adopt personnel policies and procedure manual, section 1102, workers' compensation. Chief Cole, tab 7.
Yes, sir. A review of my personnel policies and procedures manual, it was obvious to me that there were some sections that we needed to be updated and or included, this being one that we currently do not have, and it's a relevant policy that we need to have. And this spells out, you know, within the scope of this policy, sets out the rules and subsequent procedures related to how we as an organization will process workers' compensation claims and the role of benefits coordinator as well as supervisor and the employee. This document has been seen by counsel as well as been shared with our administrator, the workers' comp administrator, who has signed off and said that it meets the laws and we're not violating those laws out there. So for your consideration and approval, I would ask that you adopt this tonight so that we can include this into our personnel policies and procedures.
Anyway, first of all, have a motion, and then we'll have some discussion, please, to adopt the Section 1102 on workers' compensation.
I move that we adopt resolution. This is a resolution.
No.
Just move that we adopt the policy and procedures manual works section 1102 workers' compensation.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
I have two questions on it.
Yes.
Under responsibilities for employees 1102.2, turning in the form, what's the difference in definition between a precautionary claim and a claim? And is there a claim? Isn't there a claim? Is there any, can you put language in there that addresses precautionary or what claim is?
No, that's funny. That's a relevant question. I'm working with them now. It's a practice, as you well know, within this organization, that we have historically added that term onto the actual DWC form. Unfortunately, according to staff today that we had a discussion with this issue, is that they don't recognize the term precautionary. A claim is a claim.
And can you add that in here, that says there is no precautionary claim?
No, the policy will address both of those, because really it has to do with a true claim. When a claim is being made, how do we process such claim? There is some additional discussion that I have with the administrator. We're identifying for the employees, as you know, we're going to identify our own clinics, our own doctors, so that when it does happen, industrial sites, that they go to a facility unless the employee has a pre-designated workers' comp physician. So, to answer definitively, staff is advised that when they have tried to submit the precautionary paperwork to Athens, Athens has said, the administrator said, you just leave it, we don't need it, unless it's a claim where they're missing time from work or they're going to see a physician, you can hold on to that. We don't
but the idea of the policy is to try and clear things up where so there aren't any gray areas.
Oh, absolutely.
This is one of those areas that's always been there. I just think someplace in there should address that there are no cautionary claims are not allowed, or that this is what a claim is.
Yeah, well, that needs to be followed up on. I do not have a definitive answer on precautionary.
Okay, all right. And then my second question is, in 1102.6, employee compensation, I don't know if it happens anymore, but years ago, you would get a workers' compensation check, disability claim check for like $216 or $237 or whatever it is, and you always had to turn those in. So if there's any checks that come from workers' comp or from so many disability fund, they need to be turned back in because the district pays 100% of your salary while you're on disability.
I believe that's the practice and it's currently in place.
Right, but you need to turn in any checks that you get.
Right.
And that doesn't say that in here anywhere.
Okay.
So it should say in here that any money is received.
They can't double
as part of disability compensation will be turned into the district, because that's what always happened before.
If that's covered by law, isn't that understood?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows what's understood?
If you get a check, you need to turn it in. Social Security has this written in their policy.
Because there's no legal obligation for the district to pay 100% of your salary when you're on workers' comp. When people go out on workers' comp, they just get a workers' comp check.
I believe he's right.
But since we've always said you just get 100% of your pay.
So it should be very easily, if in the very first bullet point at the bottom of the second page, employees should continue to receive full pay and benefits during the claim administrator's review period, and employees should turn in any compensation received from
any disability.
Or whatever. Whatever the right word is.
You could just say funds received from disability policies or
Not should.
And you're getting paid 100%. The insurance should go to defray that.
Well, that's a good deal. You would get 110% of it.
Okay, with that,
I have one.
Excuse me, John. Go ahead.
I actually have two on 1102.8, return to work. The first bullet point, aggressive return to work strategies, minimize time loss, encouraging employee healing. It's
warm and fuzzy.
What does this make sense.
Yeah, we want the employee to seek the remedies and the care that they need, so that they can, both the administrator, I mean, that's an action that the workers' conference take, as well as the district. We want our employees to get the necessary care that they need and get back to work as soon as possible. Right. And so from light duty assignments to other things, we want to make sure that they're taken care of to return to work.
Right, but worried about the word aggressive?
I mean, that's just...
I could just say return to work strategies minimize time loss.
Which paragraph?
Yeah, 102.8.
And then,
so excuse me.
Yeah, just get rid of
active return to work strategy.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
It's just the aggressive part. Just
return to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then on bullet point four, it says employees will explore possible light duty assignments. Do you have a definition of light duty?
It depends on, again, there's an attachment of the form that goes back to the employee's physician that tells us what the employee's limitations
are. No, I understand that, but is there a definition of,
light duty assignments will be based upon what the physician tells the district the employee can and cannot do. And if we cannot accommodate that, because we don't have a position for that, then obviously, he won't be brought back on light duty. So any assignment would have to meet those limitations.
There's not a set definition for light duty.
No.
Did you read bullet point five? That kind of breaks it out a little bit.
No, there was no, a little bit.
No.
But there's no set light duty schedule or light, what is light duty?
It's made up as it goes along.
Again, based on what
I understand all that part.
Well, I could be sitting home watching TV, but I'm going nuts. My wife's about to divorce me, so I could come down here and answer the phone. You know, I'm not doing anything. In case I'm just sitting
and you'd be saving your marriage.
Well, the reason I ask is because I've been through all this with, you know, and we had to come up with what is light duty.
Well, in the case of a firefighter.
Public safety officer.
Throwing ladders ain't light duty, folks.
That's why I'm just asking. We had to come up with a definition of light duty.
And we won't, and I don't think we should, because we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves to pick whatever the physician tells us that the employee can do or cannot do. For example, if we happen to be in weed abatement season and we need somebody to go out and review the lots, right. Well, based on those limitations, can that employee sit for a period of time?
The 5 pounds.
I may not have a job for them, but you know we could be going through to go out and review the LPGA event that's coming in, and somebody wants them to walk through the facility and identify where the first aid stations are going to be set up and assist them. Well, based on his limitations, I may have a job for him.
Understand.
Yes. You know, you might avoid all of this by just striking the word light. Read that.
On the medical note, it says light duty.
All right, fine. Do you have anything?
No, that's it.
Okay, who else?
Yes. On 1102.6 under fraud statement 3, it says is guilty of a felony. I was just suggesting we cite whatever's legal reference makes that a felony, because we're not saying it's a felony. State law says it's a felony.
Okay, I get that right from the curator.
Okay.
I don't
think
we have that power. Cite the legal reference.
Yeah. All right. Other comments? Suggestions?
We have two 1102.6s.
It's important. There you go. That's 7.
That would be good. Oh, boy. Yeah. Correct comments.
It's fraud.
With the changes, and we do have a motion, I believe, to adopt it.
Can I modify my motion to adopt it with the changes?
Yes.
And second, agree?
Yes.
Okay. Motion to adopt it with the changes been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. New business, weed abatement, 8D, Chief Cole, tab 8.
Yeah, we're going before the board is getting your permission to solicit bids. It's that time of the year. Our contract is up, and we need to solicit new bids for contractors, and getting your position to allow us to do that for the weed abatement, to identify the public notice of inviting bids for weed abatement. I just need your authorization.
Chief, for me, is this a law, or is this a local requirement that we do in this district? Do other districts do it?
Yes.
They do.
Other districts do vegetation management, and some do a form of weed abatement.
And do they do it in the same manner by going out to contract?
There are some folks who have a program where they will go out and identify first those areas that fall within that vegetation above certain inches, close to proximity to homes and so forth, and they will then contact or send notice to the property owner, advising the property owner of the hazard, give the property owner a period of time to mitigate on his own. If they do not do that, some will go back through and cite on that particular issue and issue citations. It depends on the local ordinance and the codes that they've adopted. We have historically, since I've been within the organization, this is a long-standing program that we used to disc, that has since changed, and now we're remote in these lots. And it's the program that is in scope today only includes the former Half-Moon Bay Fire Protection District area. It does not include this particular point, as of today, expanding that area to take in the Montero, Moss Beach area, and sort of former Port Montero area. So if we're going to continue with the program, it's that time of the year.
I understand that. But I keep hearing little vignettes about this thing. If I recall, last year there was a lot of properties that the contractor could not get on because of something there. What do we do there? Do we just tell the owner of the property to do it?
If our contractor can't make access, obviously the homeowner is still responsible for it. He can't mow it, then the homeowner has to get in there and take care of the hazard there.
But it is your recommendation that we continue with the program as is?
They didn't say that.
Okay.
No, if you're asking for my recommendation, I think we need to revisit the whole thing in its entirety. I think we need to look at, from the standpoint of what is true vegetation management in the areas of urban interface that pose a significant public safety hazard. I mean, when you look at that, that's a bigger concern for me than an infill lot sitting down in, half the new property. That's not to say that's not a hazard, but I think on the priority list. This obviously takes a great deal of, on the board and staff's time to, not only, go out and identify it, make sure that the property owner takes care of, or we take care of it for him, and then this issue is, then property tax rolls are adjusted and we receive monies for this. So there has been previous discussion from previous chiefs and individual board members that have asked that we should revisit our entire philosophy on really what weed abatement is and how does that contrast or compare to vegetation management. And for me, I am much more concerned with the true vegetation management threat in some of our target hazards that have that interface problem than I am, as I said, with the infill lots. That said, it would have to obviously be, what are our alternatives through our code? Could we go to a modified system? I mean, obviously that would take some staff work to look what's out there and what our new adopted code and ordinances allow us to do at this particular point.
Before we continue the discussion, I have a request from Linda Warren to speak on this item.
I'm perfectly happy to wait till most of the discussion is done, but I'm glad that the chief made his comments before he called on me, originally when I submitted the slip, I was just going to ask whether you're going to have a uniform policy across the whole Coastside Fire Protection District, because in the Point Montero zone, there never was any weed abatement program as far as I know. And the fact that there wasn't, and there haven't been any problems as far as I've ever heard, kind of calls into question the whole program in the first place, which I think the chief just in a very subtle way did call into question the whole program. The program is screwy, and the only people that actually like it are the vacant property owners who want to develop, and they might have sensitive habitats there that they can eradicate under the aegis of following a fire district order. The sewer authority is dealing with obnoxious neighbors over this topic on the 7-acre parcel along Sewer Plant Road. And I would just assume that you see that you've dropped the thing completely in its current form. All it does is antagonizes the environmentalist. It antagonizes vacant property owners who are forced to spend money that they don't really need to spend. I know of at least a couple who are just livid over this. And the fees have no relationship to reality in terms of the size of the parcel and the work to be done. I know the fee for Murata Surf in years past was something like $50 for a 50-acre parcel, and the guy complaining to me owned a 6,000-square-foot parcel, and he was getting hit with $200 or $300. So it's really in the board's best political interest to drop the whole program and address individual problem situations as they're noticed. And so I urge you to drop the program as it exists.
I think it's been a horrendous program for many, many years. And at one time there was $100,000 a year in the program. Now, right now, there's $44,000 sitting in there that should be spent on vegetation, because you can't spend it on anything other than what it was designated for, and that money was designated for weed abatement program and vegetation management. And, I mean, there were salaries being paid by it. There were computers being purchased with the money. That's just on the financial side. Then the people were being charged for it completely unfairly. You'd have somebody put a row of logs across the front of their property, and you couldn't go in there and mow their lawn, even though it was way overgrown and could be a hazard. Nothing would happen to them. There'd be no recourse whatsoever. They wouldn't be charged anything, and the contract was divided up between the people that actually had time spent on their properties. So I think it's a program now, because of the consolidation, now does it not only does it not get fairly divided between Montara and Half Moon Bay, but it never did get divided fairly between the people that it was supposed to apply to in the first place. So I think as far as the administration of it goes, it costs more money to administer and charge the people and go out and sometimes wrongly charge them or overcharge them. I think it's just a program that we should completely get rid of and spend the money on going out and doing it for free right now. I don't care if we put it out to bid and go out and mow what we mow for the year, but don't charge anybody for it. Just spend the money.
Would it be appropriate to ask have an ad hoc committee to just kind of review this whole subject and to ask the chief to, with some input, to come back to the board next month after doing this, whether we get rid of the
whole... You still need to spend the money.
Yeah, I understand that. But to come back to the board with, do we continue on? Do we change it? Do we cancel it? Just something. I really don't understand it, but I hear all these war stories about things happening that don't sound very professional and neat, and I just think that it's time to take a look at it and figure out if we want to continue it or scuttle it.
I can have an opinion here. It's supposed to be a cost neutral program, so that there's no cost to the district, even though there's time spent. Theoretically, that time is compensated for by the program. The nature of our community when this program started, probably 40, 50 years ago, was a lot more rural. There's a lot more stuff going on, I believe it was started as a service to the people, where we had a lot of property owners who were not resident within the area, and so it was a benefit to them to have somebody come in and knock down the weeds on their lot. And that was before the days when we were so environmentally sensitive, and things occurred. And I'm in total agreement that I think that, first of all, I think we should go out to bid, just because we need to get it out there on time, whether we accept the bid or not. If this ad hoc committee gets going and looks at the whole program, maybe we have a very limited amount of what's done. There may be, in working with the city, in working with everybody, there may be some areas that we do still need to address. And I'm agreeing with Director Lees in that we may very well, as we look at the finances, not need to charge anybody anything this year. That's a whole other issue as far as billing, but I just think to get the process going right now,
sure,
we need to allow this notice to be published, approve the notice to be published, and at the same time, in parallel, get a committee going to work with the chief and to work with planning department, etc.
Sounds like a plan.
Like a motion.
Yeah. Of course. Did you move?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The county does conduct weed abatement in Montara. They do it every year. I see them with their tractors on people's property, on the side of the streets. They do it on my street every year. So
they do it on the county right away.
There's no program with Montara Fire for weed abatement.
No.
The county goes and does their own property.
Here we go. We have a motion.
Hang on.
Just one moment, please.
I agree with Wallace. We should have a pricing ready to go. What, how are the bids received? I just see bids will be received. Is it by square foot, by hour, by what? I mean, how are we soliciting bids?
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's some specifications to go above and beyond what's
here. Yeah, what you see, this is the notice that we put actually in the paper. I think the staff has the actual documentation that historically has gone out. Same thing as the last 2 years has gone out. This is just noticing them, and then they will then come in with what it would take based on what goes out to the staff.
Okay, so this is some kind of quantity.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
How many contractors have there been? I mean, I only knew of a couple now.
One now. The one that currently has it now.
He's the only guy.
I don't think he's indicated that he, for personal reasons, that
right.
I think, he's.
May not we get anything.
Did Paul do this?
Well, anyway, we're killing it.
I'd like to be able to, if I may, this go out and agree, but I think we can the fire marshal. I want to be able to address this thing from a fire marshal standpoint, and then meet with the ad hoc committee.
Let's before we go any further, let's have a motion.
I have a motion.
All right.
I have a motion.
A motion.
Second.
To authorize.
Yeah.
Okay.
Advertising for me to be.
All right. Now, do you have a question or discussion on this item?
Maybe? Well, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to make a substitute motion. Being one of the progressives from Montero. Where we have very progressive means of dealing with all these problems. We don't. I'd like to have a substitute motion that to, when the existing money allocated for the weed abatement is spent, we terminate the program.
But, by putting this out, we're not obligating ourselves to accept the bid and do anything. I would like to have some people take a look at it and decide, what is right. Is there, maybe we should do exactly what you're saying, and maybe there's another way of doing it. But this doesn't obligate us to do anything. It just says we're going to go request
something. Okay, I'll withdraw this up to the motion.
Okay.
And in addition to his comment, the $44,000 wouldn't be spent under bid because it was like, $120,000 last year. But the money does need to get spent on, maybe there's some more vegetation, more El Granada or something. Maybe there's a lot more eucalyptus groves that can be cleared out or something.
With more than that, that would be productive.
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor of the notice of combining bids on weed abatement, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Can we be in order to take a motion to appoint an ad hoc committee?
Yes, my next question.
I'd like to move that we appoint an ad hoc committee to look with the fire marshal and the chief and select some members of the public be invited to sit in with them, people that are into this area. And that committee be appointed to look at this issue and to report back to the board.
That's fine. I'd like to have volunteers in the board that have some interest in this. Excuse me?
We need to authorize the committee and then you can.
That's fine. Do we have any? We'll authorize the formation of the organization, an ad hoc committee to look into weed abatement, assist the chief and the fire marshal. I don't know if we need a motion to that or not. Just direction to the chief. Who would like to volunteer to be on?
I'll give you all my weed abatement files from the John Boggs case.
I think that's a volunteer.
Sounds like a volunteer to me.
Sounds like a volunteer to me. Any others that would be willing to provide their input? Did you, John?
Directed
Draper is also
you
there.
Have to show up.
Director Draper. Okay.
So I need at least two on the other.
You have Director Draper.
I know.
Well, did you?
I know.
All right. You got it all.
Directors Lees, Draper, and McIntyre.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Back to new business.
I'll just give you my files.
Back to new business, item 8E, review resolution 2007-03, a resolution adopting the policy for compensation expense reimbursement for members of the Coastside 5 District, Chief Cole.
Yeah, I was asked to put this back on the agenda. Basically, as you know, when we adopted the bylaws, I mean, this resolution was adopted 2007-03, but we had later adopted the bylaws, which talk about compensation, if you will, for the agendized meetings. And now, based on statute and law, where we used to have closed sessions within right before all agendas on one agenda, we no longer can do that. That has to be a separate agenda. So by definition, you know, you have two meetings within half an hour of one another, and both are open to independent compensation. So the issue is, I think it's prudent to revisit, you know, as based on what we did with the bylaws, revisit this issue and in that component, and then look at other areas in the policy, if you will, resolution that also may need to be looked at and changed.
I have a request from Linda to speak on this item. Linda?
Kind of hard to do it since I don't have copy and packet materials.
I'm sorry, say that again.
It's kind of hard for me to comment this early because I don't have copy and packet materials, but I would respectfully disagree with something the Chief just said. State law is explicit in banning more than one per diem payment in a day. You could have 10 meetings in one day. You could only get paid once. So it doesn't matter that you're agendizing two separate meetings. You can only get paid for one of those meetings. But what I would suggest is that you set a director's fee for doing board-directed district business, which obviously includes board meetings, but may include, subject to prior approval of the board, going to conferences and things like that, because it's time spent. And the job that I have now, I negotiated for 35 hours a week so that I would not be too constrained in being able to participate in government meetings. But one of the things that means is that I need to get paid for those government meetings where I'm on the board. And in terms of getting a broad cross-section of the community to be board members, it's appropriate to have decent compensation. And I think that on most of the boards, the compensation has not kept up with reality. Most directors' fees haven't been increased in decades. My board is one of the only ones. And we didn't do that until a few years ago, and we've only done it once. So I would suggest that, and I don't know what your current fees are, but I would assume that they're low, and so I think you need to bring them up to something that takes into account inflation since they were last set. Subject to the limitations in state law, you're probably limited to 5% a year since the last time it was increased. But that's in the Water Code, which is referred to by all of the other enabling acts. They all point to one section of the Water Code. So I would say you should increase that to the limit of what you're allowed to by state law, and you should be clear that it's only one per diem, and don't make it per month, make it per meeting. But if the meeting is short, what the Granada Sanitary District does is if the service is short in any given day, you only get half of the resolved fee, because for a two-hour meeting, it's not appropriate to get the full per diem. But you should adopt a policy that says for these categories of things, if the board agrees in advance to send the director off to whatever event it is, a conference or something, that will also be paid at the same rate as applies to board meetings and short board meetings.
Thank you.
And committee meetings.
Director McShane.
Thank you, Leonard. I did a little sampling on the coast side, and it is true, Granada Sanitary District does get $145 per meeting, and Leonard Warren is right, they cut that in half. In fact, they owe you $4, Delia said. For a half of a meeting, it's $77.50. I think they paid you $74 or something like that. Anyway, Coastside Water District is $100 per meeting, $600 cap. Harbor District, $300 per meeting, $600, in excess of $600 a month. Sandboard, $100 per meeting. And also, every single one of these special districts includes the ad hoc committee work, for example, like the finance committee, the strategery committee, as George Bush would say. Strategery, I heard that on Saturday Night Live. And anyhow, all of this is moot at this point because Gene showed me the law. And the long arm of the law, Gene has the paragraph that confines us.
You are a bit confined. It's Health and Safety Code Section 13857, which is the Fire Protection District Law, and it says that each member of the district board may receive compensation in an amount set by the board not to exceed $100 for attending each meeting of the district board. The number of meetings for which a member of the board may receive compensation shall not exceed 4 in any calendar month. And then there is another section that comes after that that says, although that limits the number of meetings, that you may by ordinance increase the $100 if you want to look at that. But otherwise, it's 400 a month, basically.
Basically, where the rub is that, for example, if I go to LAFCO or if Director McKimmy goes to the ALS ambulance meeting, or anybody, you know, who's designated to be on a board, a committee, the law states, as Gene just read, that we won't be remunerated for that. So in lieu of that, I would suggest that our per diem meeting be increased. But you said we can't do that either.
Well, you can by ordinance. The same section of the Health and Safety Code indicates that by ordinance, you may allow an increase in the compensation above the amount prescribed.
Okay. One thing I want to mention is I kept a time card this month. And I'm just speaking for myself as a director. In the last 4 weeks, I have done government business 20 hours. That includes my meetings, the finance committee meetings, meetings that I, coming down here signing checks, I mean, all of it wrapped up together. I kept it on a diary. It was 20 hours. So I'm not independently wealthy, and I pay for my own elections. I don't have people paying for my elections. And I would like to get $145 a meeting. That's my statement, and I'm sticking to it.
Let's have some additional comments.
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm not independently wealthy either. I have three boys that are eating up my wealth. I have to say I did get money from my election. I got $100. But I'm looking at it. Depends on your social and political ideology. And I see us here as we're all here giving something back to the community. And I believe that's what we're here first and foremost for. And calculate it out, there's about, the district pays out around $20,000 a year for us to be here at meetings, maybe a little more. And I would like that we withdraw this resolution, and I believe that we should not be compensated.
Any other, did somebody, I'm sorry, Mike?
I just want to point out on the resolution housekeeping matters that the first paragraph says 4 meetings a month, and then the number one compensation policy says 3 meetings a month.
Yes.
And then in A or 2A, it says the activities listed above, and there aren't any activities listed above. But I don't see a problem with being paid $145 a meeting. I mean, everybody should go to the meetings. You should encourage people to go to more meetings, more
committee meetings and put in more time, taking it away, having it, not having it, I mean, 145, I don't care. It's a small amount of money for the amount of time that actually goes into to doing all the work. It's not going to make you wealthy, whether you're independently wealthy or not, or whoever paid for your election. I don't care. If you want to raise it to $145, I would second the motion for that.
Let's get to the comments before we...
Okay. First of all, just a technical matter, that there's the section up above is the where it is that allows us to be paid for up to four meetings a minute. The section down below is our policy, which says that we have limited it to three meetings. So we can't increase it to four, so there's no conflict there. I sat for years on this board, and we could go to $100 a month, and we're still at $75 a month. So, I'm more in agreeing with Chris is that there's a lot of reasons for being here, and making money was not one of the reasons I chose to run for this board. What I'm looking at is public perception. And I think when we talk about money being short or not having enough money, et cetera, and then to raise our own fees doesn't send the right message. If money isn't short, then maybe we need to join in the wealth. But until that time occurs, I question. I think we're where we're at. We're there. I have a real problem with a half-hour meeting being compensated $100 a month, especially when it's a closed session meeting that, on a technicality, now has to be listed as a separate meeting, when before it was always part of the standard meeting. I mean, up until this time, if we started meeting a little early to take care of closed session business ahead of time, that was just part of the meeting. And nothing was said, but now, because of our requirement,
it's the Brown Act, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it's sort of like it just doesn't send out the right public perception.
Won't that be eliminated now, or is that still in?
Since your bylaws indicate that you start your meetings at 7:30, if you have a meeting that starts before 7:30, it is a special meeting, and state law requires that you then notice that as a separate.
Oh, I understand that, but is that going to be counted as another regular board meeting?
It is meeting the board. You can make your own calls to it.
Make it as a simultaneous meeting, whether it's agendized or not, and not pay twice for it. I mean, I don't think we're paying twice for that either. When they're back to back like that.
Through the chair, one other thing I wanted to mention is that in the past, I won't mention names, directors have not taken the money. And so if Director McIntosh doesn't want to take the money, he doesn't have to. Thank you.
Let me just clarify something from my own information. The requirements of the statute require that it has to be a board meeting and does not consider committee meetings, nor does it cover when we would attend a LAFCO meeting as a representative of the board. Those are not...
It says board meetings.
Board meetings. And but our policy, if somebody goes to San Mateo to attend a LAFCO meeting, does allow that person to be reimbursed for mileage or whatever.
Actual expenses, yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes, yeah. Actual expenses.
Music expenses.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yes.
Now, we don't, if somebody goes to attend an educational meeting in Sacramento, that still would apply actual expenses?
Expenses.
Expenses,
right.
Not
okay.
Yes. Other questions?
And then that's by statute then? So if I spend 3 days as directed by the board to attend a meeting somewhere, I'm doing this on the cockerels, though, except for any expenses I may incur during the period.
Yes, state law allows that your expenses be paid. Right.
Not this is a matter of statute, though. This is not a matter of board policy.
But you're not going to get paid to go to the class.
So it doesn't matter what we do. Let's say we chose to compensate our board members, for example, Director McIntosh and I believe Burke and Shane spent a lot of time just recently going up to Santa Rosa or some such place.
Napa.
That was strictly Napa. Okay, all you got was your actual and reasonable expenses.
No, we took the staff car. We didn't get any.
So how about food?
It was provided.
Yeah, we had a sandwich.
Nothing. I even paid the poor principal.
So you big expense. I had to sit in the car with Doug before.
I think what it boils down to, I guess, is that we're limited by statute, the question is, I guess, whether we can increase the per meeting fee to $145, leave it as it is now.
Regardless, we shouldn't get paid for back-to-back meetings, and you don't get paid for going off to.
If that seems to be the sentiment, then I would certainly agree with that. But you know, maybe we need to have a new resolution prepared that would reflect that we can vote on at our next meeting, and if the motion is going to be for $145, put it in the resolution and see if it passes.
You have to do it by ordinance.
By ordinance, all right.
So we cannot raise it.
Not by ordinance.
So you're telling me that...
I'll give you $45.
It doesn't matter what we do at this meeting, we can't change it anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you're reviewing your resolution, yeah. And if you wanted to make the one change that's been suggested, which is to say that if you have a back-to-back meeting, even though one is special and one's regular, if they're on the same night and they occur one right after another,
like tonight.
You would like to revise your resolution to say that's for one meeting as opposed to two.
I
you can do the same.
I thought the purpose of this resolution was to bring our expenses and our remuneration, if you will, up into more realistic ways. Now, I'm sure none of us took this job with the idea of paying or making car payments, that's for darn sure. And trust me when I tell you the difference between $100 or $200 a month is not going to decide whether the cock will sink or swim. However, I'm very much in favor of the spirit contained in this resolution. I know who's
doing this. This is the old one, if I can interrupt you. This is the old resolution. This is not is being proposed to be changed.
Okay. Yeah. Then refresh my memory. What the hell are we talking
basically
about?
Basically, what we're doing.
Let's just match our.
Okay.
What are they?
How much?
Benefits.
Okay. Through the chair, what we're doing tonight is basically this. And I want to say one thing before I tell you what we're doing. The one thing is that it really, the rule that Gene read really discourages people from public office.
Yes.
Because there are many people who substitute in the school district that get $100 a day. And, you know, in other words, it's discouraging people. I mean, the independently wealthy are on boards. Because what this is saying is that I'm not going to pay you for the 20 hours that you're spending a month. Not that I'm asking for 20 hours. I'm only asking for 3 hours. Okay? So what we have on... What the issue is, JB, is that we're talking about $145 for the meeting because of the fact that under the fire code, we are only allowed to reimburse people for board meetings and for special district board meetings only.
Okay.
So because of that, in lieu of the $100 a month, I'm suggesting we go to $145.
So you're saying $145, no back-to-back meetings, maximum 3 months.
Yes.
Then could we? Go ahead.
If I vote yes, that's what I vote.
Let's do this. Let's ask the chief to bring back an ordinance to us next month that reflects that. But no back-to-back meetings, $145 per meeting, and we'll take a vote.
Next 3 months.
Okay, I'd be supportive of some of that concept. I would want to know when the last time this was changed for $100, and I'd probably just be supporting the cost of living adjustment from that level. Back-to-back meetings need to go.
You know, if I agreed to volunteer my services in the community, I didn't agree to wear a hair shirt.
Is that direction? Okay.
Mr. Wheeler, one other request for the chief when he's doing that as far as information is whether other fire boards being compensated.
Oh, they are.
Within
If you can find out any information on that, chief, include that for us, okay?
Mr. President?
Okay.
I told you, just match the Harvard.
All right.
Mr. President?
You're only half right on the Harvard.
Okay, let's...
Plus benefits of Harvard.
There's a procedural issue you might want to direct counsel to check into.
Are we taking...
And that is...
No, no. Let's move on. I'm sorry, Larry.
Well, this might be important.
Okay, please,